Well, good morning again. You're all in the dark. Thank you, David. Well, bless you all. Let's pray before we look at God's Word. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord. We can sing those songs declaring the gospel, declaring what you have done for us. And even today as we celebrate communion together, we again celebrate what you have done for us. And so, Lord, as we look at your word now, I pray that you would reveal truth to us, you would challenge us, and, Lord, that you would transform us by the power of your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I love astronomy. I love the science and looking at the stars and the universe, the galaxies. I just love to see the enormity of it, and my brother gave me a book on astronomy when I was probably about 5 or 6 years old, and I still have it today. A lot of the numbers are outdated, but it's still amazing to see. And you know, when I look at the stars, it takes me back to Psalm 8. And Psalm 8, 4 and 5 says, "When I look at your heavens, the work of the fingers of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him." And you know, when you look at the stars and the majesty of the universe, you realize just how small we are. The numbers are astronomical when we think about the distant galaxies and the size of the universe. And God knows you. He knows every hair on your head. But more than that, he holds every atom in your body together. That's how great our God is. And I don't know if you've been keeping up with your scientific journals and your reading of your latest scientific journals. You're all up to date with that. But in April of 2020, something happened that has never happened before. At least scientists have never seen it before. Astronomers have never seen it before. But in April of 2020 was the very first cosmic blast in our galaxy, in our Milky Way galaxy. And a cosmic blast is a release of energy, a burst of energy, an incredible amount of energy, but it's released in 1 millisecond. It's an infinitely small amount of time that this burst of energy appears, and astronomers see this and are able to record it. And it's known as an FRB, a fast radio burst. That happens, a fast radio burst. And they've seen these from time to time from distant galaxies, but this was the very first one in our galaxy. And the significance of it is it was 36,919 light years away. And you say, well, that's far away. No, that's really close in the term of the galaxies, because the other closest one was 490 million light years away. Again, you're talking about astronomy, you talk a lot of big numbers. But the significance of this burst of energy, that it 1 millisecond released as much energy as 500 million times the energy of our sun. And I know I'm getting blank stares, because that's just too much energy for us to even to begin to conceive and understand. These fast radio bursts, no one knows what causes them. No one knows. Maybe they speculate that they may be the collision of two black holes. It may be neutron stars that collide. Maybe it's extraterrestrial sending us a signal. Who knows? Nobody knows where they come from, but there's this incredible burst of energy in a very, very short, infinitely small amount of time. The cool thing about this is that Wired magazine, says that these studies of these FRBs, these fast radio bursts, may give us some indication as to what is between the galaxies. So for those of you who know your universe, you know you've got galaxies all over the universe, and in between them, we don't know what's between them. We don't know what's there or what happens there. And they're saying, well, maybe these radio bursts will give us a signal into that. But you know, the interesting thing about that is that we probably never really truly understand what these FRBs are. But that sudden burst of energy, that sudden burst of incredible power, is much the same as when Jesus came on the earth 2,000 years ago. It was a fraction of time in all of history that God, the creator of the universe, took on flesh and lived amongst us and displayed his power and his glory. Just a sudden burst of energy in all of history. Now, how do you experience Jesus? How do you encounter Jesus? Maybe some of you have encountered Jesus with that enormous outpouring of energy as your life was transformed, that moment that you gave your life to Jesus Christ as Lord, and there was that incredible burst of transformation in your life. Maybe to you, Jesus is kind of like an animated Jesus, or for those of you that are older, a flannel graph Jesus. You know, the Jesus stories of Sunday school, and those really comfortable Jesus that speaks to the children and sits on a tree stump and is a really nice, peaceful man. Not the creator, the all-powerful, the judge of the universe. But you know, either how you have experienced him, have you experienced him as this burst of energy that's transformed your life, or do you see him as a flannel graph or an animated character? Well, he's neither of those. He's infinitely more than we could ever imagine. He is fully God, fully man. Again, we don't understand. Just when I mentioned the energy reduced by an FRB, a radio burst, it went over your head. We don't fully understand God. That's why he is God. But whichever one of the two, whichever image you have, we need Jesus to burst in our world today, in our lives today. We need a burst of energy and power and a display of the glory of God in our lives today. This is the third week in our series, rapidly moving through the Gospel of Mark, and the series called Cheer Up. But last week we looked at John's baptism of Jesus, John the Baptist baptizing Jesus, and how Jesus is driven literally by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, and the launch of Jesus' ministry. And today we're going to look at that, the launch of Jesus into ministry. We're going to literally go through three chapters and cover some bursts of energy of Jesus displaying who he is and the magnitude of who he is in the world today. So we're skimming through, and there's a little bit of homework as you go through the Gospel of Mark over the next, it'll be now 4 weeks, and I'm going to put in the church email the reading that you'll need to do each week. This week we're going to go from Mark chapter 1 verses 14 to chapter 3 verse 12. And I'm not going to read all of that because we'd be here 10 minutes just reading that. But that's kind of the ground we're going to cover. And so next week we'll have another few chapters we're going to look at. But remember, Mark's gospel has that word immediately translated about 40 times. It's a short gospel, rapidly moving. And it's almost like these staccato bursts of energy and bursts of light that the writer gives to us of the power of Jesus displayed. These snapshots of Jesus, just like the understanding of what's between the galaxies, these snapshots of Jesus give us a picture of God, gives us a picture of who God is, so we can understand him better. So beginning in verse 14 and 15, we have the first words of Jesus recorded, the first words that Jesus spoke in the Gospel of Mark. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The time is fulfilled. Jesus was saying that this is a new era, a new time. It's an epoch in history, if you want a better word. It's the Greek Kairos moment. All of human history has been culminating to this time in history. Jesus. All of the Old Testament pointed towards Jesus. It is the pivot point in history. And Jesus said, the time is fulfilled. It is now. Again, those listening had no idea what Jesus was talking about. But we can look back and see the importance of that. And Jesus says, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. It's now. Well, what is the kingdom of God? It is the rule and the reign of God wherever he is. Jesus was introducing the rule and the reign of God, the kingdom of God, the entire realm. He was saying, this is a new era. This is a new universe. Everything is now going to be different. The kingdom is the deep heart of God that's bursting with love for his creation. That's what Jesus was introducing. It's near. This is the fulfillment of the message of the Messiah that we read in Isaiah 40. Every mountain will be made low, every valley will be raised up, every pathway will be made smooth, so that many, all flesh, can see this together. 400 years. There was 400 years of silence from the last prophet, waiting for this Messiah. And Jesus was saying, the time has come. There's this cosmic burst of energy, like 500 million suns of energy is released when Jesus introduces the kingdom of God. And his name is Jesus. He is the one. And so he comes on the scene, bursting with his presence, and he goes to two fishermen. And his presence is such that he goes to these two fishermen in verse 18 of chapter 1, Simon and Andrew, and he says, follow me. Follow me. And they immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And he goes to two more fishermen, James and John. James and John leave everything. They leave their father in the boat and they follow Jesus. Jesus is bursting with his presence. And then he's bursting with authority. He teaches in the synagogues. And it's so unique, so head-turning, so different from anything that they've ever heard before. Jesus speaks with authority. Verse 22, and they were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. And Jesus is bursting with power. He's casting out demons. He's healing the sick. He heals Simon's mother-in-law. And when word gets out, all of the village and the town comes to the doorstep of Simon's house to be healed. Verse 33 says, the whole city gathered at the door. And then Jesus is also bursting with intimacy with the Father. He wakes up early in the morning before anybody else gets up. And he goes and spends time with his father. In verse 35, we read that. In verse 37, the disciples are just frustrated. Well, we need you to come and do some more healing. What are you doing sneaking away like that? They get frustrated and say, everyone is looking for you. But Jesus knows the value of intimacy with the Father. Jesus knows that he needs to spend time with his Father. Again, he's modeling for his disciples. He's modeling for us the way of being a follower of Jesus. And then Jesus is bursting with compassion. In verse 42, we read, he touches a leper and he heals him. Verse 44 says, see that you say nothing to anyone. After he's healed him, Jesus said to him, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof of them. So Jesus heals this man, tells him to go and offer the sacrifice that's needed and to prove to the priest that he has been healed, that he's cleansed, he's no longer got leprosy. So what does the guy do? He immediately goes and tells everybody what Jesus has done for him. Well, it's obvious. When the burst of Jesus encounters your life, you cannot but tell people about him. You have to go and tell people about what Jesus has done in your life. He couldn't hold himself. He couldn't restrain himself. He had to go and tell people about Jesus. And Jesus' name and his authority, his fame grows. Verse 45 says, people were coming to him from every quarter. From all over, people were coming to him. And then in chapter 2, we read about this paralyzed man. You know the story well. His friends bring this paralyzed man to Jesus. Well, the house is so full of people. I know The Chosen really depicts this very well. And they burst through the roof and they lower the man in front of Jesus and he heals him. He sets him free, but he first heals his heart. then he heals him physically. And he says to him, get up. In verse 12, we read, and he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God and said, we never saw anything like this. The people were amazed at the display of the glory of God. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Jesus did the greater miracle first and then displayed what the people would see second. And Jesus also was breaking through, bursting through protocols and paradigms of society. He didn't follow the cultural norms. He called Levi, the tax collector, to be a follower of his. He calls Levi, a tax collector, an outcast in the civilized society of the Jewish people. And Jesus ate with these outcasts. Jesus ate with these misfits. He would party with them and hang out around them. And the people criticized him and said, well, that's not the religious thing to do. And Jesus responds in Mark chapter 2, verse 15, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus was also bursting with anger, righteous indignation and anger. In chapter 3, we see Jesus staring down the religious elites, the Pharisees. They were looking for opportunities for Jesus to slip up according to their laws and their regulations, and Jesus is angry at their stubborn hearts. He goes into the synagogue, and there's a man with a withered hand. And Jesus knows what's going on. He sees the man. He wants to heal the man, but it's the Sabbath. And Jesus knows he's being watched. They're waiting for him to break the law of Moses. I know that's not the original intent of the law of Moses, but Jesus was doing work on a Sabbath. It doesn't make any sense to us. In verse 5, Jesus said, or he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. But Jesus did this on a Sabbath. So the religious leaders immediately started getting together to conspire as to how they could do away with Jesus. He was causing too much trouble. His energy, his power was on display, and it was breaking the protocols of society. And the crowds were bursting through. The next verse we read that Jesus withdraws from his disciple with his disciples, and the crowd is so large, coming from all of the surrounding region, that he gets a boat so they're not crushed, the people aren't crushed as they're coming to him. He healed many, verse 10, so that all who had diseases pressed around him to touch him. In fact, even the demons, when Jesus showed up, they burst out and begged for mercy. They begged that Jesus would take mercy on them, but he rebuked them and silenced them. I don't know about you, but I don't think that our Sunday school Jesus kind of captures that power and the glory of God on display. We don't really have that neat little package. Jesus was very unconventional, very outside of the box, and his display of glory and power was nothing like the world had ever seen before. You know, we're living in a time today when we need a burst of the power and the energy, the glory of Jesus. You know, COVID-19 and the world around us, it's created an enormous amount of feeling of just helplessness, of weakness, of insignificance, of vulnerability. We don't trust what we read. We don't trust what we hear on the news media anymore. We're fearful. We realize just how little control we actually have over our own lives. There's pain and there's anguish in our streets. All around us, there are people that are struggling. We're seeing riots. We are seeing disruption of society because there's an anxiety that's building in the world around us. People are crying out for more. They don't know what they're crying out for. They're seeing injustice and they're rising up against it, but there's a need. There's a need for Jesus. Our economies, global economies, are sputtering along. There's Many, many people without jobs. Joblessness is on the rise and in the increase. There's a need. We've seen probably the most divisive presidential election in all of history that we've had in this country. And it continues to go on. One can hardly speak about politics without anger rising up in people. And people are frustrated. Mental wellness is at an all-time low in our world. Depression, anxiety, suicide, these are all spiking at unprecedented numbers. There's a need for Jesus to burst in. Right here in our church family, right here in our church family, there's unexpected things that are happening, unexpected events, unexpected medical reports, unexpected reports from court judgments, unexpected financial judgments. We need a burst of Jesus. Right here, even in our church family, we now more than ever before need Jesus in our hearts, in our lives, in our families, and in our communities, and in our nation. We need a burst of energy from Jesus, the glory of God to be displayed in the world around us. Just like the first three chapters of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is bursting into all the aspects and the spheres of the world. We need the same thing today. And it's not like he is silent. He is doing that. He is doing that in response to the prayers of the church and the response to the prayers of the saints around the world. But do we have any idea of the capacity of the power of Jesus? You know, we talk about these fast radio bursts being 500 million times the power of the sun. Do we have any idea of the capacity of the power of Jesus? And we say he is fully God and fully man, okay? He is the second person in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three in one. But he formed all things. He created all things out of nothing. All energy, all power, every kilojoule of energy comes from God. He created everything out of nothing. And Jesus has all authority. Matthew 28:18 says, all authority has been given to him. He has all authority over every ounce of energy in the universe. That is Jesus. He is the supreme commander of the armies of God. He's not just the commander-in-chief, he is the commander-in-chief of the armies of God. And if you don't believe that God has armies, read the back of the book. He is the supreme commander. We were talking about this in our staff, one of our discussions this week, and we were thinking about the armies of God and the angels of God. You know, and we again have a limited mindset of God. We think, well, if we were praying for the Cantu family, that the Lord would send some of his warrior angels to protect the family and Michael while he is away. Well, you know, our mind thinks, well, if we're going to send, God's going to send four angels there, then someone else is going to miss out. If God needs more warrior angels, he'll create more. He is absolutely unlimited in what he can do and in his power. The God of all creativity and power, this God took on flesh, became a baby and walked amongst us, lived amongst us. He lived like any other Jewish boy, like any other Jewish teenager. Jesus walked and learned to trade and lived amongst us. And then at around about the age of 30, he began to burst with energy and power, displaying just an infinitely small amount of his power, but it transformed the world and continues to transform the world. Listen to this. I love this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's Jesus. That's our Savior. And he is here with us today. You know, it's exceptionally important for us to remember Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He hasn't changed. He is still the Creator God that holds all things together, who took on flesh 2,000 years ago and is now at the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding, he is praying for you and for me. Is it good to know we have that kind of power behind us to support us and encourage us? Jesus is bursting paradigms today. Just like we've seen throughout history, I've been reading a book on some biographies of great men, and the one biography I read this week was William Booth. And for those of you that don't know, William Booth was the founder with his wife. They were the founder of the Salvation Army. And he was a Methodist and trained to be a Methodist minister, and that was his goal, to preach in the church. And but he had a heart of compassion for the people in the streets, those that were poor and those who were broken. And so William Booth would go into the streets and he would bring the people into the church that normally wouldn't go to church. And he would invite them in. Well, the church at that time was for the rich and the wealthy and those that could dress nicely and those that could fit the part. And the tragedy was, again, this is God's plan, the tragedy was that he brought these people in, and within a few weeks, the church folks said, William, we're not happy with this. Can you stop bringing these people to church? They smell. They don't smell like us, and their clothes are bad. Please stop bringing them to church. Isn't that tragic? But God used that to send the church out into the streets. And William Booth founded what is today probably one of the most impactful gospel and humanitarian movements of history, the Salvation Army. Salvation Army today isn't as much gospel focused as it was back then, but his primary goal was to see the lost saved, to see people encounter Jesus, and to meet their felt needs at the same time. No more dividing lines, no more castes or tiers of society. Jesus burst through that and broke that down. Everyone can come to the table. We're all one in Christ Jesus. He makes those who are in power to look weak and those who are weak to look strong. That's what Jesus does. The question for us today is what paradigms is Jesus wanting to break in your life today? What bubbles is he looking to burst in your life today? Things that you believe, this is the way it is, there's no other way. Jesus is coming and saying, no, you haven't seen my way yet. I can break through and do things differently in your heart, in your business, in your home, in your community. The paradigms that we're bound to, God wants to topple those because they're holding us back from experiencing and encountering God in ways that we've never expected. Jesus came to introduce a new kingdom. A kingdom that was different to anything else that's ever been seen before. And we still hold on to the old kingdoms. We still try desperately to hold on to the old paradigms, the way of, well, that's the way it's always been. And Jesus saying, no, I'm still breaking through and introducing the kingdom, the eternal kingdom. Everywhere Jesus went, people were overwhelmed. They were delighted. They were amazed at what he did. They were drawn, they were compelled, they were invited in, because this was something new. There was a display of power that we've never seen before. But it's because the pressure had been building for hundreds of years, thousands of years, pointing towards a Messiah coming. And my friends, the pressure's been building in the world around us today. The pressure building for Jesus to come again, because everyone is sensing there's got to be more than this. These paradigms that we're living in, the structures that we have in society, it's not working. There's something missing. The kingdom of heaven is missing in many of our man-made structures. In Mark chapter 2, Verse 18 to 22, when Jesus was challenged by the authorities, and he was challenged by the religious authorities of the day, and he was bursting their paradigms and their bubbles of the way things were always been, and Jesus said, they were asking Jesus, well, why don't you fast with your disciples when John the Baptist and his disciples are fasting? And Jesus said, it's the wedding time. Jesus was prophesying, saying about the fact that he is the bridegroom, and these are the bride. You are the bride of Christ, and he is coming again. We're looking forward to the wedding feast, but Jesus was saying, I'm with my bride. We're going to feast now. This is a time of celebration. And then again, he spoke about sewing a patch, a new piece of material onto an old garment. It just creates more of a tear. You cannot put an old patch onto a new, or an old garment, you can't patch with a new patch. It has to be new on new. There needs to be a new material, a new design, a new way of thinking, of seeing things. And Jesus was saying, this is the kingdom of heaven. It's like new wine, verse 22, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skin, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. The new wine is for fresh wineskins. So how does that relate to us today? Because many of you have heard these texts, you've heard this kind of talk before, but how does that relate to us today? Well, God is still bursting paradigms today. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's someone in your family or your friend, your coworker that you've been praying for that does not know Jesus. And in the back of your mind, you say, they never will accept Jesus Christ as Lord. And Jesus is saying, I want to burst that paradigm. I want to break through that paradigm, and I'm going to save that person. Jesus still does that today. What about your finances? You're stuck in a cycle of brokenness and poverty, and you just don't see any breakthrough. You don't see any way out of this, of the struggles that you are in financially. And Jesus wants to give you a spirit of generosity. I want to throw this out. I believe the opposite of poverty is generosity. You would say, well, the opposite of poverty is wealth. No, you can be very wealthy but still very poor. The opposite of poverty is generosity. And so when you see things in the light of the kingdom of God, the unlimited resources of God, he's going to give you a spirit of generosity. Randy Alcorn says, you cannot outgive God because he doesn't like the competition. God is generous. He is good, and he blesses his children. What about your health, maybe? Well, I've always been sick. It's never going to go away. This is just the way it is. This is what I have to live with. And Jesus is saying, no, I want to break through that mindset, that thinking, and set you free from that. Jesus is the healer. He is still the healer today. What about the call of God on your life? You've called to be a missionary. You've called to be a preacher. God has called you to go and witness the gospel to other people. And you say, well, I don't have the resources. Or maybe you're like Moses and say, well, I don't speak very well. God wants to break that paradigm, that way of thinking, and saying, no, I've called you and I will equip you to do what I've called you to do. Jesus can break whatever paradigm you are struggling with, whether it's your location, whether it's your work situation, your family situation. Jesus can break in and break those paradigms as the kingdom of God is released in your life. What is that area that the Lord is speaking to you about now that he wants to break in and burst in with energy of 500 million suns? Let the glory of Jesus be displayed in your life. In a few moments, we're going to celebrate around the tables with the Lord's Supper. And it's a very simple act. It's a very simple, and it can become routine as we go through the motions of, well, I could eat some bread and we're going to have some of the grape juice. But it represents the greatest day in history, when Jesus broke all the paradigms. What Jesus did for us in giving his own body for us and his blood to set us free from sin. So I want to challenge you as we go into this time of communion, I want to challenge you to pray. I dare you to pray and ask the Lord to reveal to you just in a few moments, what is the paradigm he wants to break in your life? What's that one thing that, maybe it's a few things, that you're holding on to and saying, I cannot do that. I cannot see that. I won't experience that. Those are all lies from the enemy. What is that paradigm that Jesus is wanting to break through? That new wineskin he wants to give you. The things that are holding you back. I want to challenge you, so we're going to spend a few moments in silent prayer in a little while, but I'm going to challenge you to bring that to the Lord and allow him to do that in your life. And then as you partake of the communion elements, celebrate what God has done, the completed work of the cross over your life already. Sometimes, as I said some months ago, we've got to thank God before we see the miracle. Thank God before you see the miracle and praise him for what he's about to do in your life. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, you are so powerful and awesome and majestic. Those words seem completely lost on us in light of your incredible power. But that power is for us, your word says. The power you displayed in creating the universe is for us, your children. And it's for your glory. Lord, forgive us for limiting your power by our paradigms and our ways of thinking. This is not a humanistic message. This is a message about the glory of God being revealed in the children of God, so that the name of Jesus is displayed and lifted high. So Lord, we ask you to display your glory in the lives of our church family and in the lives of those around us and those that we are praying for around the world. Lord, burst through into our lives today. I pray that you break down the walls of tradition, break down the walls of paradigms of fear and anxiety. Lord, we pray for freedom. Lord, you are great and greatly to be praised. Give us the faith to trust you for the impossible. And we give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So now, around your tables, you should all have a table facilitator around your tables. And so we're going to do this again like we did last month. Is you're going to partake of the elements around your tables and share together in communion around your tables. And but before you dive into discussion, we're going to have communion, then discussion. But before we even do any of that, I invite you just to take some time in silent prayer, confessing your sins, as well as asking the Lord to reveal what is he wanting to do in your life. Thank you.